ganz kurz noch mal ergänzen.
I just want to add very shortly.
Und zwar, dass wir besonders im Fokus sind, wenn wir die Überwinder werden wollen.
That we as those who want to be overcomers are really in the enemy's focus. Like it's shown in Revelation 12. That the dragon comes to this woman and he hates the whole woman. He hates all Christians. But the major problem for him is the overcomers. They need to be removed as the first. So once the overcomers are raptured, then finally he will be cast down to this earth. I am really looking forward to this day when this devil who accused us before God day and night, who constantly deceives us, tempts us, and I'm looking forward when this devil is cast down. I want to be part of it. I greatly look forward to this day. We just want to go to heaven shortly to clean up. Let us go to heaven shortly, clean up, and take over this earth. It sounds very courageous, but it's not through ourselves. The Lord is our strength. He has overcome. And there was already a male child that the devil wanted to kill. That when the Lord was born, then a worldly king got afraid. This King Herod, he had all the little children killed because he was afraid that he would lose his throne. Because he heard that the King of Israel was born and he was like, I need to kill him. But God did not allow it. Through his sovereignty, he preserved Christ, and then King Herod was removed. And in the same way, he prepared us Christians to be part of this male child that takes over dominion in the coming kingdom. And the current prince over this earth, it's not King Herod, but it's the great dragon, the old serpent, who's called the devil. He needs to be cast down. And it's so good that we have this vision and that we grasp this vision and that we don't say, oh, the others are so strong, I'm so weak, but that we grasp it for us. Like in Philippians, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And Psalm 18, verse 2, it's a psalm for battle against the enemy. Psalm 18, verse 2, he says, a psalm of David after the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And it begins with a wonderful sentence, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. He says, my fortress, my rock, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my shield, the horn of my salvation. He lists everything that God became in this battle for him. And he was strengthened in the Lord. We can speak so boldly because the Lord is our strength. We can say that we want to be part of those who cast down the enemy because the Lord is our strength. And what really encouraged me is to see that we see through the enemy. if we see through the enemy, how he wants to use ourselves. And it's good to see Ephesians 6, where he says, put on the whole armor of God. And we cannot live unequipped. We cannot stumble into our days unequipped. In the morning when you get up, don't stumble into your day, maybe a short prayer. It's like if you go to the battlefield in your pajamas. Then there's one small thought and that's it for you. There's one small sorrow that becomes so big in you. That's why we need the whole armor of God, and it's so important. Ephesians 6, 11. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6, beginning verse 11. And we need the life of God in this battle. We need the tree of life to touch the Lord as life in the Word. When you are strengthened through this life, then no thought, no sorrow, no sin, no temptation can cause you to stumble because you are strengthened with this life. But only if I'm weak, because on a certain day I have not touched the Lord's life, or this access to the Lord was missing, then the enemy can attack me. Then small things can cause us to stumble, and we should not accept this. We should not let this happen. But we need to be equipped and go into our days equipped. And this armor has a helmet. Our thoughts need a helmet, because a helmet, our thoughts are a big battlefield. Recently I made an experience where a sorrow came regarding my business. And suddenly my whole day, my head was filled with this sorrow. And I realized how I went into this day without a helmet. And it even made me physically sick because I was not equipped. Until I went to the Lord and poured out everything before Him. And then I was free. And it also talks about truth. Girded your waist with truth. How many lies do we accept in us? Condemnation. Lies about ourselves. That, for example, God would not love us. First of all, the enemy causes us to stumble, and then he wants to condemn us. But God loves us. And it's the truth that God loves us. And we cannot let it happen that this hatred that Satan has against us, that we believe it. And that we think, oh, I'm so bad and I can quit altogether. So we are important for the Lord. We are destined to cast down the devil. So don't believe the devil. He hates us. The devil wants to destroy us and kill us. And if we accept these destructive thoughts in us, then you open the door for him. And we need to learn to resist him. And understand that the Lord loves us. And even if we fell, there's the blood. We can stand up, cleanse ourselves, and go on. And even if we are in a whole righteousness, So, and sometimes we react in our self-righteousness, and I don't have this armor here of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. So, but if we wear it, we can say, Lord, you have carried so much unrighteousness, then I have this breastplate, and then the enemy's arrows cannot hit me. So we should not enter the days unequipped, but put on the whole armor of God. So in such a way, the church will become a powerful army, full of life. And then we fight against the enemy together. Otherwise, we will end up having Christians fight against Christians. Then we fight against each other. And at the end, it's like with Cain and Abel, we kill the brothers. So this cannot happen among us. Do not give any room to the devil. So the word says, don't give any room to the devil. And even more so, we should love the brothers. In Pforzheim, the place where I live, there are a lot of Christians, and there's a very ugly dispute among the Christians. And I see the enemy working who wants to bring shame over the Lord's name. The Lord gave us the burden that he wants to do something in Pforzheim. And we want to hold a presentation and we go and preach the gospel. We have contacts who are open. And we have this consciousness that the Lord wants to bring his kingdom to Pforzheim. But now there are Christians in the flesh who put so much shame to the Lord's name in such an ugly way that I think this enemy wants to destroy the field to which you sent us. And we need to resist. We don't join into this argument, of course. But we see the enemy behind this, who wants to hinder God's kingdom. Let us not see the outward circumstances and everything that happens, but let us see the enemy behind and bind him and overcome him. And this battle started with these two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan came in through the tree of knowledge, which brought death. We here in Zion need to learn to abide at the tree of life. The main part of this battle is we need to abide at the tree of life. If I leave this tree of life, the enemy has won. I can live a Christian life outwardly, but if I'm at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I will even kill the brothers. So our battle is we need to overcome and love the Lord with our first love and come to the tree of life. The Song of Songs says that my beloved is an apple tree. To eat his fruit is sweet to my mouth, and I want to abide in his shadow. If we overcome and abide at the tree of life, we have this victory. If we come to the dead letter, then we will kill, and the enemy has won. We don't have this concept that Satan can help to destroy a church if we are fully at the tree of knowledge. Let us clear So let us clear about the Lord's life and what is the tree of knowledge. And let us abide at the tree of life. And our fight is not against flesh and blood. So that we can also not fight in the flesh. I saw many Christians, and many Christians say, yes, I want to be an absolute Christian, and then we fight in the flesh. Then I'm seemingly for God, but everybody who knows life will say, you were in your flesh. Let us not fight in our flesh. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. Ephesians 6 also says it. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but 2 Corinthians 10. It says, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Let the enemy not tempt you to fight for God's kingdom in your flesh. How many Christian workers who work according to the flesh destroy God's work? And I see it and it hurts. I think, why don't you stop? We need to learn from the others' mistakes. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That's why Psalm 18 is really wonderful. There is someone who learned to experience the Lord as his strength. We should also be such people who learn this. To say from our heart, Lord, I love you, my strength. And he teaches our hands for war. And if we fight with the Lord and for the Lord, then brotherly love will remain. But you still have the brotherly love. We saw the opposite. Many Christians, they fight according to the flesh, but in the end, they hate the brothers. So our battle is through prayer. That's why at the end of Ephesians 6, it says, through all prayers and supplications for all the saints. It's wonderful every day to mention the names of the saints at our locality. Even if you see the weaknesses of the saints. Even if saints insult you, keep on praying for them so that the saints are strengthened and this army is built up. So we are in the battle and we need to watch. As a sleeping soldier is a dead soldier. When you are in war, you are awake all the time. The enemy sends us a lot of sorrows and stress so that we fall asleep spiritually. The Lord said, watch and pray therefore, so that you are strong and are not tempted. We need to watch. It's about the truth. It's about the saints. Amen.